3325.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Here we are, Gene and Chris on the Paracast, but as you hear the show, on the very same day this show is being broadcast, we will probably be in Fountain Hills, Arizona, at the International UFO Congress, trying to score up a few interviews with some of the guests.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
Oh, yeah, we're going to rock and roll and do all sorts of wacky stuff, or maybe not, depending on your point of view. The thing is, I looked at the list of speakers for this year, and for the most part, it's much, much better than the previous year. Evidently, they got the message over there.
Yeah, but I've been banned from the building. I don't know if many of our listeners will recall, but after last year's Congress, I went ahead and did a WTF editorial about the list of speakers and some of the goings-ons. And boy, I'll tell you, I was just being honest, and I was taken to task for that, so I'll be a little bit more diplomatic this year.
Sure you will. Yes, I agree. You will be
diplomatic. Well, they must have read the writing on the wall or the writing on the editorial, because, boy, I'll tell you, they have a much better lineup this year that's on par with the first year that Open Minds took over the show and event. And I must doff my hat to them. They have a very good lineup this year. I'm looking forward to going and rubbing elbows with some folks and hopefully learning something. Paul Stonehill is someone that I think hasn't gotten the kind of notoriety and deserves more people knowing about his work as it relates to UFO events in Russia. He's someone that I'm really looking forward to finally meeting and finding out about some of the really cool cases that are being reported over there but don't really make it out into the mainstream.
I was looking over the list. About half of these people have been on the Paracast one or more times. Others we should get on the Paracast, and some I look forward to meeting. So we'll have some interesting stuff. In the meantime, last week we had an interesting discussion that we have to talk about with Artie Six Killer Clark, and she was talking about encounters with star people, and it was about UFOs seen by Native Americans. Except in this particular situation, as you listeners recall, there were no names. Locations were expressed, if at all, very generally. In a few cases, maybe we heard about the professions of the witnesses. And I understand that. I understand that you want to keep confidentiality. And if people tell you something with the promise you will not reveal their names or specific identifying information, that's a good thing to do. You want to respect confidences. We like to do that in the UFO field. Some people don't believe that. However, the problem is here is that when you try to sum it all up, what's going on, you get the silly meme that, well, there's star people, they have a federation where they have a non-interference policy with Earthlings. And yet, all we're hearing about is interference. It's like they have their own policies, but they don't obey them.
Yeah, good point.
They don't listen. This is advanced beings. Now, understand, humans, we're primitive, right? So if we don't listen to anybody, and we don't, that's understandable. We're primitive. We're savages. But we have this advanced race or many races of godlike beings that are found throughout the galaxy. And to a person, I won't call them men or women, whatever they are, to a person, they have this philosophy of non-interference, just like the philosophy of Star Trek. You know, don't interfere in the affairs of lesser planets or that sort of thing.
The Prime Directive.
Okay, so they have their own Prime Directive, except they ignore it. Now, we understand on the Star Trek TV show, it's a TV show, so they ignore the Prime Directive whenever Captain Kirk saw a pretty girl. You know, he sees a pretty girl, the Prime Directive goes out the window. He's got to make it with her. But here we have the star people, highly advanced people. And their Prime Directive, assuming it exists, they don't follow. And how do we know it exists? Because they tell us so. And the other question that comes to my mind, why believe them? Because they're more advanced than we are? So someone comes down to Flying Saucer and he says, I'm from the Pleiades, or I'm from Alpha Centauri, or I'm from the center of the Earth. Okay? Tell me another story. Why should I believe them?
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying, and I think you're bringing up some very good points. You know, it kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder, you know, is it worth spending all this time interviewing all these people when basically all you're doing is contributing to, I don't know, a sense of folklore? You know, I don't really get a sense from reading the book and from talking to Artie that we really have advanced our knowledge. Basically, what we're doing, it would appear, at least on the surface, that we're just solidifying some of the preconceptions that people already have about this whole field. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing. I think it's important for indigenous peoples, in this case American Indians, to feel confident enough and comfortable enough to come forward and tell their stories. But without some data points, without some, you know, some follow-up, I think it's just more spinning the wheels, don't you?
It makes for good stories. You know, maybe it's a coffee table kind of book. You know, you sit back, you want to read a couple of cool stories, and you enjoy it, and you put the book down, and it's light reading. You know, light reading, it's like going to, what they used to say, you go to a Chinese restaurant, and you have a meal, and you feel hungry an hour later.
And your jaw itches from MSG.
Is that what it does to you? My wife gets headaches from MSG.
Well, you know, I really do applaud the amount of effort, obviously, and energy and the time that it took to compile these stories. I mean, her jaw-dropping figure of 900 interviews, boy, that, you know, she's been working on this for a long time. But did you really learn anything new, Gene, from the book and from speaking with her? Or did it just kind of just give you a new version of things that we've been hearing for decades?
As we say, empty calories.
Well, I do applaud her efforts, and I'm glad that she took the time to do the book and come on the show. And
you know, it's like the first half of an investigation. So you collect the stories, you collect the information, and then you come back and you do the follow-ups. But in this case, there will be no follow-ups unless one of these individuals chooses to come forth with their information so we can explore it. Then she made one comment there that I caught, I guess, about hypnotic regression, saying or implying that it was an accurate means of getting information, which we kind of know is not true.
Right, but she also did state that all these stories were, conscious recollections by the witnesses, that none of these stories were retrieved through some sort of hypnotic regression. So,
which is good. At least it's a first-person remembrance. In any case, let's go to our guest today. And our guest today, as you hear him, he will actually be in Arizona to speak before the International UFO Congress. Isn't that strange? Another time dilation theory.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to having John Greenwald on the show. He's someone I've been a big fan of his ever since he was a teenager, which wasn't that long ago. He entered into this field in the mid-90s as a 14, 15-year-old, has accomplished some amazing things in 20 years. He's, you know, really compiled, I think, the largest repository of Freedom of Information Act request data. The Black Vault is an iconic presence on the net in the field of ufology, and it's long overdue that we should have John Greenwald on the show. He's very knowledgeable, and I think is a leading light of the younger generation getting involved in this subject.
And what's more, we have about 24 questions from our listeners, as posted in forum.theparacast.com under the question bank. We'll try to get to a lot of them. We may not get to all of them. But all this and more is coming. And meantime, if you have a comment or question about the show, please do write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, news@theparacast.com, or join our forums at forum.theparacast.com. We have John Greenwald of the Black Vault coming up next. You're in
The Paracast.
The Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You know, we mentioned on the previous segment of the Paracast with Gene and Chris that John Greenwald Jr. has never been on the Paracast. Guess what? We lied. He was on the show back in 2007, August 2007. And the reason that neither of us remembered is because we are collectively about 12 times older than John is. And the gray matter, you know, we're suffering from, as William Shatner said in the TV show Boston Legal, we're suffering from the mad cow. And therefore, we don't remember anything. In fact, I have no idea where I am right now. Chris, where are you?
Right here, Gene.
But he doesn't know where here is. It's just the place he used to be. But I don't want to get into that. Seriously speaking, John Greenwald of the Black Vault is joining us. And the Black Vault, as those of you who heard the episode over 6 years ago will recall, is a monumental achievement. And this guy has done some really, really incredible things in the UFO field by putting this together. So maybe to bring listeners up to date about this, explain what the Black Vault's all about, John, and how you came to get this thing started.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on the show again. It is good to be back. And just to kind of give you the rough overview of what the Black Vault is, it is a culmination of U.S. government documents that I've collected under the Freedom of Information Act. So in short, what I've done is I've taken literally over 600,000 pages of material that I've collected in the last 16 years and scanned it all and put it online onto the internet for anybody to download for free. Now, obviously, the UFO topic has always been number one. That's always been the most popular because, in my opinion, is really the most fascinating topic when it comes to government secrets. So the Black Vault is this culmination of government documents, and what I wanted to do is archive the material not only on the UFO topic, which has been the most, I would say, popular since day one, because let's face it, that is the most fascinating, but I've archived material on all sorts of different topics, like the JFK assassination, nuclear and biological weapons secrets, and so on. So I've literally filed about 4,000 Freedom of Information Act requests in the past 16 years. And the Black Vault is the culmination of that research. So in a nutshell, that's what the website is.
John, how long did it take to catalog all those documents? How much of the 16 years did you consume with the scanning process?
That's a tough question to answer. I'm not real sure on the right answer on that. You know, sometimes I know it's, you know, well into the thousands and thousands of hours, but how many, I your guess is as good as mine. I really don't know. It's been quite a ride, though, I'll tell you that much.
You have a day job, I hope.
Absolutely. I have a couple of them with this economy to try and survive. I do, but I've worked in television for quite some time now, about 7-8 years. We just wrapped a show that is airing in syndication throughout the United States and now the world, which I'm excited to hear about.
Can you tell us what the show's about?
Absolutely. It's called Unsealed. It's kind of a series where they have two different versions. One is called Unsealed Alien Files, and one is called Unsealed Conspiracy Files. And I was a consulting producer on the show, and I helped them put a lot of the stories together and figure out what the show was. And so it's been airing here in Los Angeles. It's KTLA, but that's a syndicated network. So depending upon where you are in the United States, you'll have to check the website unsealedfiles.com, and it will break down where it airs in your area. But that's the show that we just wrapped. It's still in season one. We're hoping for a season two, but with entertainment and television, you never know if it's going to get picked up again.
Let me be the first one to say, you know, I really enjoy the show. I think for people, even with you know, a fairly sophisticated knowledge about these subject areas, that there's wonderful pearls of information. There's new stuff in there. Every episode that I've seen, which hasn't been that many, 3 or 4, I've learned something new. I think you do a very good job as one of the sort of experts that they kind of rely on to put the subjects in context. And Bill Burns actually does a good job as well. And, you know, I really have enjoyed watching it. And I'm sure, you know, I don't predict or prophesize, but I'm pretty sure that you guys are going to be signed to multiple seasons if you keep up the good work.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I hope so, too. The producers do a phenomenal job over there, the executive and the supervising producers. They do a great job putting it together. My job, obviously, was a consultant and helping them put together the stories and figuring out the different experts that they could talk to. And, you know, for the record, I did not write myself in or say, hey, you should interview me. That actually was their decision. So I didn't want it to seem that I was just putting myself in the show. But I do appreciate the kind words, and I'll definitely pass it on to the production staff.
You know, looking at your credits over here at the Internet Movie Database.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know all about you. We know when you were born. We know where you were born. We don't know what you're doing right now. But you also produced a documentary called Secrets of the Freemasons in 2006.
That's correct, yes.
What do we need to know about the Freemasons other than just a bunch of old men getting together and being wacky?
You want to know my honest opinion? They are an amazing group of people. And I could end it there and be happy with it. I really honestly, truly believe that. Here's a slightly longer answer for you, is that when I created that show and we put together the story concept, we were exploring just that, the secrets of the Freemasons. And when I talked to the network, National Geographic Channel, when I talked to my executives, I told them, I said, you know, to do this right, we need to get the Freemasons involved. Because let them have a word. If there really is a secret, or if there really is a conspiracy and it's true, well, okay, great, but let's have them get their say in there and make this real. And pretty much everybody laughed at me. They said, well, you know, you're doing a show called Secrets of the Freemasons. Good luck. You know, that'll never happen. Sure enough, it took weeks, but I called select few people that were high up in the organization and kind of worked my way through and told them what we were doing and was honest and open with them and got them involved. And that's exactly what they did. They came aboard. They dealt with the secrets. They were very good sports about it. Of course, some of it was laughable to them. And other secrets, you know, they just didn't want to talk about. That didn't mean that there was a big conspiracy, but they just chose not to talk about it. So, you know, the short answer is they really are an amazing group of people. How far and deep the conspiracy and secrets go, well, you know, they have their secrets. They're a fraternal organization, just like any fraternity at a college. They have their secrets. But again, how far does it go and how much power do they really have? And it was an amazing show to do. I mean, you know, that's a show in itself. I'll be honest with you, Chris and Gene, that, you know, you could talk for days and days on the Freemasons and never scratch the surface, because it's not a history that goes 100 or 200 years, but you're talking going back to the building of Solomon's Temple. And you're talking about quite a long time ago where, you know, this organization came together and has existed ever since. I'm very proud of that show. I believe it is on YouTube. Last time I checked, if anybody wants to Google it or YouTube it, I believe it's on there. But, yeah, it was one of those shows we were very, very proud of and got to shoot around the world, recreated the Boston Tea Party and quite a few other big events in history. So it was definitely something that I would definitely check out if you're interested in that topic, and something I'm very proud of.
John Greenwald joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey neighbors, got a small business or a large company that needs to be online 24/7? Well, here's the little secret. To make sure your site is always online, you need world-class DNS service from Dyn. That's D-Y-N. For years, Dyn has been helping companies ranging from the scrappy young startup to the giant media moguls of the world with making sure websites are fast and always available, and that your emails are getting delivered. D-Y-N. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com, that's dyn.com/podcast30. Check them out today.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Apply just one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time, and it's guaranteed. Order this all-natural, antifungal, and herbal formula for women and men at nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've heard about or even used colloidal silver for years. But did you know there's a silver product that is much better, faster, safer, and superior? Silver that is fundamentally distinctive, different, and the only patented silver since the original colloidal silver in 1923? Introducing Silver Protocol from Neofera. Think about this. What will you do when you can't get antibiotics? Silver Protocol should be in every grab bag, the one product you gotta have when it all breaks loose. Unlike colloidal silver, use Silver Protocol preventatively or whenever infection occurs. Silver Protocol can be boiled or frozen, yet is still 100% effective, has super long shelf life, and will not cause argyria or turn you blue. Order Silver Protocol at 800-213-0644. That's 800-213-0644. Or go to neofera.com, spelled N-E-O-F-E-R-A.com. Sign up for our free educational email series at neofera.com. Silver Protocol, the ultimate immune booster.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, we're back with John Greenwald of the Black Vault, but we were talking very briefly there in the Paracast with Gene and Chris about some of his other ventures in the business of show through the years, including Secrets of the Freemasons. Of course, he was also did some production work with the UFO Hunters TV show, National Geographic, Hitler and the Occult. He's got a really interesting resume there, worth checking out. But right now we're going to focus on the Black Vault, accumulating hundreds of thousands of documents, not just about UFOs, but about other things. But let's look at what we've learned. You've scanned over 600,000 documents there, and you must be very tired. Doing that in a week, it's amazing, John. But
Six days, actually.
And the seventh day?
I rested.
Or you were arrested, depending on your point of view. But we don't want to say for what. But seriously speaking, his icon on Skype, by the way, is just black. It's all black. He uses a black icon. A lot of people set up a Skype network connection. You know, like with me, I don't know what I put on there. Chris has a picture of himself without the beard, which comes and goes. But John does not want to be seen. In fact, what's really strange, and I was talking about the time dilation theory with Chris, this show is going to be heard the first Sunday in March. But on the first Sunday in March, you're not going to be where you are now. You're going to be in Fountain Hills, Arizona, at the International UFO Congress, where we'll be talking to you again.
Oh, very good. You'll both be there.
Yes.
Oh, very good. Well, it'll be great to see you both in person.
Well, I'm invisible, so I don't cast a reflection, but you'll definitely see Chris.
Good. So hey, good. It'll be good to see Chris again.
Seriously speaking,
if they let me in.
Oh, yeah, right. His relationship with the crew at the International UFO Congress is a little bit shaded, tainted, erratic.
Well, yeah, without getting into very many details, John, I happen to point out that the lineup they had the first year that they had moved it to Fountain Hills versus the lineup last year, there was quite a glaring sort of discrepancy in the quality of speakers. And they've come back, I think, around, and this year's lineup really looks good. I'm looking forward to going there and reacquainting myself with some of these speakers, including yourself.
And the nice thing about this is in the past tense, because all this will have happened, or have mostly happened.
Right.
It was a really fabulous meeting John, and meeting Stan Friedman again, and Richard Olda, and all the people that I've known, and meeting a few people like James Fox, who we've talked to on the phone a lot of times, but hadn't met him. You see how we do that? You know, this is amazing. Let's talk about some of the specifics in Black Vault. So some of the documents you got were about the Kennedy assassination. But does anything in those documents give us anything new?
You know, it really, after all these decades, the answer is yes and no. No, because you do see the Warren Commission report and you see a lot of the other material that has come out. But also you get kind of some other tidbits on maybe why JFK was assassinated. Maybe not necessarily by whom, but you get a little bit of a motive. That's one of the biggest things to look at when you look at the new material that's coming out. Now, what is that theory? Well, to me, you know, I think it's there's a lot of weight to the fact that JFK wanted to cooperate with the Soviets, that he wanted to start sharing UFO information. Those documents came out, that he wanted to show that the UFOs that we're seeing around the planet were not American. They were not us intruding on our enemy or our friends' airspaces without declaration of war, that these were something that we just didn't know what they were. So those types of documents, you know, they really kind of, again, add to the story and kind of take us a little bit more down the line to trying to figure out what the truth is. But unfortunately, not only with the JFK assassination, but with pretty much everything else, you may get a couple steps down the line, but there's a lot of questions that come along with it.
Isn't it interesting here, back in the 70s, a congressional committee concluded that a conspiracy was involved in the JFK assassination, and that's as far as it went.
Yeah, there's a lot of great history there. And if, again, you know, the Warren Commission report is kind of what we all know about, but that assassination committee report that came quite a few years later is also very interesting, and it shows that the government itself still morphs their decisions, morphs how they feel about certain topics. And, you know, who knows, maybe in 20 more years after most of the people involved, if not all of the people involved, have died off, you know, they're going to come out with some other revelation. Maybe my kids will learn that JFK was assassinated by our own government. But at that point, nobody will, I hate to say this, I really genuinely do. I believe that, you know, if it's 40 years down the line, and they come out that they killed him, meaning the government or the military or whatever the powers that be, would they care? Because, you know, you're talking about generations later, a completely different century, completely different era. And, you know, look at the way our society is going. And I don't want to get on a soapbox or anything, but I think there's a big possibility that if they came out with news like that in 40 years, we just may not care as a society. And I think that that's one of our faults. And that's a path we're going down very quickly right now.
Well, we can be politically incorrect and talk about the roll-up to the Iraqi war, about weapons of mass destruction, which did not exist. But there are no consequences. There'll be no consequences. There's a book out now called Hubris, which talks about that in the run-up and all the background information. But with the Kennedy assassination, say the government did it. Say LBJ did it, because he was the person who gained the most from the death of JFK, or his friends in the military-industrial complex, or whatever. There will be no consequences if it comes out even now. Forget about 30, 40 years.
Gene, it'll come out in the Gulag newsletter on the back page. So,
okay.
That was a conversation stopper.
Oh, yes, you see. You did it for us right there. You know, this conversation just rolling along, and there it is. You have a revelation there, Chris.
Well, what did JFK say about the CIA, John? I'm going to, break it into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind or something?
Well, yeah, I think that it's no secret, and unfortunately documentation is very hard to come by to solidify my next statement. But, you know, I don't think it was a secret that the intelligence community really didn't care for that administration, JFK particularly. So you got a lot of conspiracies that come along with that as well, that, you know, maybe it wasn't necessarily LBJ who orchestrated it. Maybe he had knowledge of it, though, because he had the most to gain. But it was the intelligence community that really kind of played this out, namely the CIA. Is there documented proof of that? Well, of course not, or I you know, would be all over the news if that, if something like that came out and you're able to prove it. But and stuff like that will obviously stay buried, I think, for quite a long time. But you do have those rumors, you do have those conspiracy theories, and I think they're very well founded. And I think in that era and even the decades prior, you know, the different intelligence communities, FBI, the CIA, you know, they didn't all just shake hands and share information and it was happy-go-lucky in the intelligence community. They did not care for each other. And a lot of people think that that's the way it is now, that there are kind of that power of who really is at the top, who really does know the most, who really is the most powerful. And those questions really sound like, oh, John, you're getting too conspiratorial and, you know, you're getting too Hollywoodized. But unfortunately, that's the reality of it. And you look at, you know, let's just bring this up, and boy, I hope I don't get lynched for bringing it up, but let's bring up the incident in Benghazi in Libya. What happened?
Right.
Everybody pointed their finger at everybody else and said, we were clean in this. It was not our fault.
So basically, they point in the other direction and they say he or she did it. We have a lot more to talk about with John Greenwald from The Black Vault with Gene and Chris. You know, it's interesting. We have the philosophy here. He did it. And I kind of think that 9/11, forgetting the conspiracies, which we can always talk about, at the very least, the problem with 9/11 is that the agencies weren't communicating with one another. So most charitably, the most positive view that you can put on how the government reacted and how it was prepared for such an eventuality is that all these agencies were doing their own thing. They didn't feel the obligation to talk to one another when the warning signs were there.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they connect the dots? Well, I think the problem is now is after all these years of supposedly putting the agencies in a position to work together, Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, and everything else, you have to wonder after all these years and after what they've done, whether the problem still happens. Benghazi could be an example, but there could be worse and more frightening examples. And I'm going to ask for your comment. We have John Greenwald of The Black Vault. He's joining Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Florian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Sell something you believe in. Almost sounds like a foreign concept, right? Listen, when is the last time you sold for a company and a product you believed in? Something you could feel good about Monday through Friday, and even Saturday and Sunday. Something with integrity. Perhaps you've heard of us. We're GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Over 800 radio stations, the web, and 4 satellites broadcast our conservative talk radio shows 24/7, 365. While much of radio struggles, we're doing things all over the globe that those with just a transmitter can only dream of. We've got listeners, lots of them, and advertisers who need help reaching those listeners, but they need you. GCN is looking for motivated, self-starters, people good on the phone with proven sales savvy, experience in marketing and advertising, but we'll invest in training the right person. We offer benefits, but the biggest benefit is selling something you believe in. Send your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with GCN and sell something you believe in again.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, will be held March 16th and 17th at the Nashville Expo Center and Tennessee State Fairgrounds. Admission is free and doors open at 9 a.m. Come join us to learn life-saving techniques to help you and your family handle crisis situations. Meet Nat Geo's Dennis McClung to see if you have what it takes to be on the next season of Doomsday Preppers. Walk through a bomb shelter, learn first aid, CPR, and much more. For more information, go to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
And while you're at the NPS Expo, meet and speak with Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. If you take pharmaceutical drugs and wonder why side effects require you to take more drugs, Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Wallach has the answer. Hear how he took on the FDA 8 times and won every time. Don't miss Dr. Joel Wallach at the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, March 16th and 17th. Admission is free. Log on now to npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, John Greenwald and the Black Vault joining us, and I pose this question about this inability of the intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies to talk to one another, and whether that's caused so many problems to occur, 9/11 being one of them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that that's one of the biggest failures and cover-ups to 9/11. I'm asked that question a lot, and to be honest with you, surprise a lot of people by giving my honest answer, and that is that the government didn't plan it, in my personal opinion. I don't believe there's any evidence to that grander conspiracy that the United States played a role in plotting, planning, carrying out, or letting 9/11 happen, whichever of those conspiracy theories that you buy into. And I've been
really
cool.
Hold on, but yeah. Before you continue, what about Vigilant Guardian and the, you know, the Air Force exercises that were occurring that day? I think there were 5 of them. How do we reconcile that?
There were quite a few. I think there's a lot of coincidences that happen, and I think that, you know, if you really look for those coincidences to prove a conspiracy, you'll find them. You can find them with Benghazi. You can find them with 9/11. You can find them with the JFK assassination. You can find them with any conspiracy or any life-changing event, for that matter. Any large event, a hurricane, for God's sakes. Hurricane Katrina had conspiracies thrown at Bush all day long. You know, so it's like anything that changes or alters our planet, there's a conspiracy attached. And if you look hard enough, you're always going to find quote unquote evidence to that. Now, I don't want to make it seem like I'm ignoring your question, but my whole point is that you can absolutely look for those types of coincidences to prove or disprove any theory that you want. I truly believe that. So what I've done with 9/11 is I look very, very hard for evidence to show that there was some type of connection to the government planning, plotting, or letting this happen, or again, any of those theories, and couldn't find anything. But going back to Gene's point, what I think the biggest cover-up is about 9/11. There's 2 things that I feel are very, very plausible, one of which is I think, very provable. And that would be that intelligence failure. They don't share information. Either they missed it and were just completely blindsided, or they got tipped off to something like this and didn't adequately act on trying to figure it out. I discovered a report that came out through the Freedom of Information Act about terrorist organizations and what were the most dangerous groups that we should watch out for. Number one on the list, obviously, Al-Qaeda. What were they doing? Well, there was evidence that they were plotting an attack. Okay, all of that was in this report. It was published September 10th, 2001. That's on the Black Vault. You can download it. You don't have to take my word for it.
Yeah, that's the same day that Donald Rumsfeld announced that there was $2.2 trillion missing from the Department of Defense.
Right. And that's another interesting point. What happened to that? You know, is that a coincidence? Well, I don't know. I really wish I could give you a good answer. But there is all those little types of, you know, coincidences and facts and tidbits that really do support the theory. Now just to quickly complete my thought, the second thing that I believe is truly part of the conspiracy slash cover up to 9/11 is United 93. I believe that we shot that down. No, I don't have documented proof on that, but I believe that by the testimony that's come out, not the 9/11 commission stuff, which I think is just ridiculous, but when you listen to President Bush himself, when you listen to Rumsfeld and you see the different sound bites, Bush gave the order to shoot down 93. Okay, that's in his book. That was a revelation that just came, I believe, in the last year and a half, 2 years. And he gave the order. And I believe just because of plausible deniability, I truly believe Bush was in the dark that we shot it down. And I'm not just saying that because I want to support President Bush. I'm saying that because I believe President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, they're all kept in the dark about certain things. And again, line them up. Benghazi, 9/11, JFK, whatever it may be. These guys are kept in the dark because these are the ones that the press asks questions to, or should, anyway. They're the ones that have the spotlight on them.
Benghazi, what was kept in the dark there except that maybe the State Department didn't do its job properly to protect diplomats?
Well, I think that that's just the tip of the iceberg. I honestly do. I think when you get into Benghazi, you've got quite a few things going on. And some people ask, well, why would they do such a thing? And again, I don't want to be lynched for bringing this up because this is a very controversial topic. But I truly believe that the biggest motive behind covering up what Benghazi was, or at least delaying what it was the election. Let's face it, every poll, including the right-wing organizations and the left-wing organizations, had this as a very tight race before the election. So there was all the motive in the world to cover this up. And if you look at the history and study the history behind what truly are acts of terrorism, both on U.S. soil and off, but against United States assets, when you look at the attacks through the Obama administration, most, if not all, are never labeled the T word. He and his administration will never say terrorism.
Now, but they did with Benghazi. That was one of the arguments. He called it an act of terror the very first time. But the key
No, he didn't. If you look at the wording, he never called Benghazi terrorism.
And he said, in general, no act of terror. And I understand you can parse the words. General. You can parse the words and say, he used that phrase, but he was not referring to Benghazi as an act of terror. Okay, even considering the fact that it's a screw-up by the State Department, charitably, that's the simplest explanation, the non-conspiratorial thing, and because of the election, they kind of keep it on the down low. But now that the election is over, we're not learning much of anything except that it was just a screw-up.
Right, and unfortunately, as you can see, when you follow the testimony of Petraeus, and this was one of the finger-pointing episodes that I talked about that happens in incidents well beyond Benghazi, where Petraeus completely went against what that quote-unquote company line was. And that was one of the biggest things that I think even the media is overlooking, even those journalists that are trying to really show, hey, Benghazi was a huge cover-up, that the CIA is the one that said this is an act of terror. So after they gave that to the administration, that comes from Petraeus himself, after they gave away that information, someone changed it, and everybody finger-pointed on who changed it. Now here we are, you know, however many months later, and, you know, you kind of ask yourself, well really, kind of, who cares? You know, because to a point, it's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. But when you look at the grander scale, to me, and you look at the history of the administration, and you look at the documentation, this isn't just my opinion, you look at the documentation that came out of the Fort Hood attack, that have come out of the attack of the double murder, I believe it was in Colorado, on the recruiting depot where military officers were killed. And this guy named his jihad as motive for what it was, and they wouldn't label it terrorism. They would label Fort Hood workplace violence, and they would label the other one just a regular homicide. The point is that they're hiding from that terrorist word because they cannot give that facade of weakness for this administration. Now, after the election, why don't they come out with it? Well, to me, that's very simple, because you look at the tip of the conspiracy, you know, and the secrets behind all of this. Who is it? Potentially the next United States president, Hillary Clinton. So you have to keep that story under wraps. Now they have a different motive, but they have the same agenda, cover it all up. And they have to do that. And I think that these hearings, pretty much spearheaded by Senator McCain and Senator Graham, you got to look at what these guys are saying and what they've seen. You know, my final thought on it is the reason I think John McCain is kind of very passionate about this is not because he's a sore loser because he lost to Obama, 5 years ago. It's not because he is a Republican and Obama's a Democrat. I truly believe that when you look at the motive for what these guys wanted to do in Benghazi, and that was capture Christopher Stevens, not kill him. He was going to become a POW, be tortured, beheaded, whatever they were going to do. John McCain, more than anybody, arguably in the government today, knows more about what would happen to Christopher Stevens if that happened. And I think that he knows that he owes it to the honor of these four people that died to figure out the truth. I mean, this isn't just an intelligence failure. You've got, I think, a political power play playing with people's lives. And I think that you have to look at that, and that plays into almost any other conspiracy and government secret that you want to look into, because you have to look at all the pieces of the puzzle to start to unravel it.
Okay, I think we should stop with the Benghazi stuff. There's been a lot of political posturing on this issue. A lot of false information has been published, such as claiming there was real-time video and that stuff. Let's move on. Okay, so what are the pieces of the puzzle in the 9/11 conspiracy, other than incompetence, once again?
Well, to me, I believe that that really is what I came up with. Again, that's my personal opinion.
Okay, we brought down Flight 93, but what else?
That's the
contingency plan, but ahead of 9/11, was anything afoot other than failing to connect the dots? Was there anything else at play? We're not talking about once it was happening, they took various measures that you may or may not agree with in terms of the way the military acted in terms of that particular decision. But about before 9/11? What could have been happening there? We have John Greenwald Jr., of the Black Vault, with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.